This morning we continue on in our sermon series through the book of Hebrews, a sermon I've entitled Grow Up Part 2, indicating that in my mind it's an extension of the sermon that Rhys gave last Sunday. We're going to forego an introduction this morning and go right to God's Word. I encourage you to open up your Bibles so that you can read along as I read aloud. We'll be looking at the sixth chapter of Hebrews, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Let me suggest to you that the main idea this morning from these three verses is very similar to what we heard last week. I would articulate it this way: recurring or perpetual immaturity puts one in peril. Therefore, we must go on to maturity. Let me say that again. Recurring or perpetual immaturity puts one in peril. Therefore, we must go on to maturity. We will look at this investigation into maturity and the call from the author of Hebrews for his people to mature by considering the believer's foundation, the author's description of immaturity, and the author's view of maturity. Let's start. Point number one, the foundation. The foundation. The foundation for followers of the superior high priest Jesus is the elementary doctrine of the faith. We read, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation, indicating that the foundation for the faith of Christians is the elementary doctrine of Christ. This word foundation is exactly what the English word indicates. It pertains to the bottom support of a structure. And when it's used in regards to teaching and learning, it refers to the first principles of a system of truth, the base propositions on which further propositions are built upon. This picture of laying a foundation that we are given is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for laying the groundwork in the system of faith that was initiated by Jesus and upheld by his disciples. Very similar word in this first verse is elementary. Elementary pertains to things that are first in a series. Elementary school is the first school you go to, followed by higher forms of education if you choose to follow them. Elementary particles of matter, things they call quarks and leptons, are particles that are not composed of any other particles. They're the first in a series of particles of matter. Elementary algebra includes the initial concepts of that mathematical discipline. The author gives us some of the elementary truths and foundational doctrines, though I don't think he gives us an exhaustive list. He gives six, which come to us in three pairs. We have repentance from dead works and faith toward God, instruction about washings and the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. This first pair of elementary doctrines pertains to conversion. Repentance denotes a turning from sin, and faith denotes a turning to God. Repentance from dead works is a turning from works that lead to death, and faith toward God is a turning to trust in him as our creator. Now, if you're here this morning and you're an unbeliever, you need to understand that conversion, which includes repentance and faith, is of utmost importance because it is foundational. It's foundational to our relationship with God. Without the recognition that we are sinners, without a heartfelt turning from that sin, and an equally sincere trusting and believing in Jesus, there is no positive relationship with God. There only remains the wrath and the judgment for all those who sin. We want to encourage you this morning in regards to the foundational truths of our faith. But perhaps for you this morning, the most important one is the necessity of repenting of sin and putting your faith and trust in Jesus. The second pair of foundational truths are not so easily understood. In fact, there is much speculation and much argumentation in the commentaries in regards to what the washings and the laying on of hands means. I'm not going to burden you with all of the possibilities. There's two possibilities that stuck out in my mind. One possibility was that these things refer to the work of Christ on the cross, the atonement, because washings pertain in the Old Testament to purification, which points to the atonement. And the laying on of hands speaks of the laying on of hands on sacrificial animals for the removal of sins. That's possible. It also could refer, since it started with the very initial point of our walk of faith, that is conversion, it could speak of baptism, the washings referring to baptism, and the laying on of hands referring to the filling of the Spirit, which in Acts happened and coincided when hands were laid on people and they were prayed for. Regardless of where we land on what those things mean, we need to understand that the author of Hebrews sees those as elementary doctrine, as fundamental foundational truths. The first pair referred to the initiation of our walk of faith. The second one sometime after that. And the third speak to the conclusion of our walk of faith. That is, the resurrection of the dead, which all believers look forward to, and then eternal judgment. And so we have these six exemplar doctrines that take us from initial repentance all the way to final judgment. Let's pause for a moment now and make application. I would ask you to consider and to notice that very early on in the life of the church, within one generation of the death and resurrection of Jesus, there is clear evidence of a systemization of doctrinal truth. Today's verses indicate that the church understood that there were foundational, fundamental truths, and that deeper truths were built upon that. They were already organizing and formulating the Christian teaching so that people could understand it. And we want to convey to you, I would like to convey to you this morning, the importance of a systematic approach and study of doctrinal truths. I believe that every believer needs to appropriate a systematic study of doctrine into our walk as believers. I understand that not everyone is going to take a systematic theology course at a seminary. And yet, I still believe we need to embrace this organized way of understanding doctrine, that we might increase our understanding. One of the ways that we do that here at West London Alliance Church is the catechism. We have made the New City Catechism part of our service because we believe learning theology systematically is crucial to our faith. I can't wait, hopefully within weeks now, of being back on these stairs sitting with the kids and going through the catechism with them. And we think it's important at a very early age that they start to understand their truths in a systematic way. But let me encourage all of us, this is an important way for all of us to learn. I've said it many times that I'm teaching the catechism to the kids, hopeful with the intent that the adults are listening. You know, that New City Catechism, parents, again, I remind you of what a great tool that can be for you to use with your children. You can get an app on your phone that has it all contained in there. You can follow along at the same pace as we do here at the church. They have resources on there. They have a song for every question and answer to help your kids work through that. That's something you might want to use. But a systematic learning of doctrine is something that's important to every one of us. And I think in particular, the church in general, and even West London in particular, needs to improve our ministry in this area. Do you know there's one particular thing that's happened over the last 30 or 40 years, which I think has impoverished the church, particularly in regards to this systematic teaching and learning? And that's the removal of Sunday school. That's when Christians, particularly adult Christians, used to learn the systematic doctrines and truths of our faith. But most churches don't do Sunday school anymore, not for adults anyways. And now we're in a situation where we have three services Sunday morning. How are we going to do Sunday school? Well, you need to know that we as a church are committed to improving that. We're working on ways in which we can systematically teach our people that functions within what we've got set up already now. And it's not easy, but we're committed to doing that. But let me encourage you this morning, as we endeavor to see how we can bring that teaching back into the church in a more powerful way, this is something you should pursue for yourselves. A systematic studying of the doctrine of God. And there's many ways you could do that. You, as adults, could use the New City Catechism, a way to learn. But there are also many books which I could encourage you and suggest to you, which would be helpful. Books like John Stott's Basic Christianity, or J.I. Packer's 18 Words, or Wayne Grudem's Christian Beliefs. My encouragement to you this morning is to commit yourself to the process of development and maturation that comes with learning and understanding the foundational truths of our faith. I've been so encouraged over the last couple years to hear primarily of young adults getting into groups of three or four and working through systematic theology textbooks. All right, these are books, 800, 900, 1,000 pages. And they tackle a couple pages each week as they learn these foundational truths. I think we should all have a commitment to that type of learning. Point number two, a call away from immaturity. For believers, immaturity is seen when one's focus and engagement with foundational beliefs is prolonged or repetitious to the detriment of growth. And that's important, to the detriment of growth. The therefore, which chapter 6 begins with, reminds us of chapter 5 and reminds us of the sermon that Reese preached last week, which looked at a believer's responsibility to learn and to move from that learning to teaching, and what learning and teaching speaks about a believer's relative maturity. The three verses we consider today continue to call followers of Christ away from immaturity into maturity. It seems to point to two types of immaturity. If leaving the elementary doctrine is the path of the mature, then not leaving the elementary doctrine is the path of the immature. That is, the believer who is in a prolonged or perpetual state of immaturity is being admonished to stop doing that and to grow. The second type of immaturity is a little bit different. That is to say, if a mature Christian is one who does not repeat the process of laying down a foundation, they lay down a foundation, that's important, but they don't continue to do that, then the immature Christian is one who again and again keeps putting that foundation down. Their immaturity is recurring and repetitious. They may momentarily move forward to maturity, but they very quickly return. These stages or types of immaturity, a perpetual prolonged immaturity or a recurring repetitious immaturity, endanger the believer's faith. We need to understand that this morning. Let me again pause for application. If you have been a Christian for any length of time and you are still immature by the standards that are laid out in the book of Hebrews, I believe you can take a moment and apply the text this morning simply by understanding that we, West London Alliance Church, desire to see you grow. We want that for you. That's one of the reasons we exist as a church. The elders and the staff, we're about seeing you grow. We care about that, and you need to understand that. It's clear in Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 through 14, where it lays out the ministry we have to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. If you need help growing, if you find yourself in a rut of immaturity, let us know. We want to help you. Send us an email, call the office, talk to one of the staff or elders in the foyer. That's why we're here. We care about that. That alone, I think, is a great point of application this morning. I want to make one more in regards to this point. I mentioned to you that one type of immaturity is one in which a believer experiences growth in their learning, and then they find themselves withering back to a place of earlier immaturity, wrestling with truths and beliefs that you've already resolved in your walk of faith. There is a growth in your learning and an understanding, and then there's an atrophy as you go back to where you were before. I think this is an issue of particular importance in these days. There seem to be many believers who are regressing in their faith. There's even a term they've come up with in regards to that, deconstructionism. Talking of believers deconstructing their faith. Well, dealing with that is not a simple thing, but can I suggest to you a first step if that's you this morning? If you find yourself growing and then regressing and growing and regressing to a point now where you're even questioning your faith, let me suggest to you that one problem involved in this might be your unwillingness to submit to the authority of God's word. You keep questioning and questioning and questioning, and you don't submit to what you've already learned to be true. I don't want to oversimplify the problem, and I don't want to say this is the only solution, but I ask you this morning if that's something you struggle with to consider. Do you submit yourself to the authority of God's word as the divine rule of faith for all believers? Do you submit to it? And if you don't, you may be consigning yourself to that recurring, repetitious immaturity. That's precisely what Hebrews warns against. Let's keep moving this morning. Point three, a call to maturity. Followers of Christ are called to mature in their faith, which is exemplified by leaving the elementary doctrine of Christ and not laying again a foundation. So the author has admonished the recipients of his letter to move beyond an infantile and immature faith and then calls them to maturity. Now, this is not an exhortation to an elite group of Christians. This is a call to every believer, every true believer in Christ. Now, the first description of going on to maturity is the imperative, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. Now, I think we need to be clear on what this leaving is. And I think Philip Hughes, the commentator, is helpful here. To leave the elementary doctrines does not mean to despise or abandon them any more than a pupil who has learned the ABCs can dispense with the alphabet. The letters of the alphabet are indispensable in the formation and communication of the most advanced learning. For progress to maturity is always cumulative. So also the first principles of Christian truth are basic to every stage of development and are no less essential at the end than they are at the beginning. The point is this, the beginning is not a stopping place. It is the door to progress. And when the author of Hebrews admonishes the reader to leave those things, that's what he means. I think that becomes clear with the second way in which the author talks about being mature. The pursuit of maturity is described negatively as not laying again a foundation. So when we consider this idea of constructing a building, we understand that the foundation is laid once, but then something's supposed to happen. You're supposed to build a structure on the foundation. You don't leave the foundation and go somewhere else. The foundation's there, it's always there, and it's important. But it's used to build upon. Growing in our comprehension and our appreciation for theology and doctrine as it pertains to Christianity is what we are called to do. Now, I understand this morning that Christianity is more than just theological truths. But brothers and sisters, it's not less than theological truths. And we need to understand them and learn them. God calls us to mature in this way. Let me make my final point of application this morning. I had the opportunity to go to the country of Ecuador with my wife on a trip that was put together by Compassion Canada, where we visited several of their projects in that country. And I started to notice a very interesting thing about most of the foundations of the people's homes there. What I noticed is that almost without exception, except in the very wealthy areas, none of the foundations had been completed. Somewhere on the foundation, there was exposed concrete with rebar sticking out of it. There was some unfinished part of the structure, and I wondered why that was. I asked and got my answer. When I inquired about this, I was informed that there is a tax that the government would levy against a home when it was completed. Now, to avoid this tax, homeowners would intentionally not finish the foundation. They would not move on from laying the foundation of the home. They were willfully failing to complete the groundwork. They were willfully not willing to finish the infrastructure of their building. And it seemed to me that there was an application we could make here. Because I considered this, I believe there are Christians who willfully and intentionally don't move on from laying their foundation. And whereas the Ecuadorian homeowners did that to avoid a tax, believers can willfully not move on for maturity because they believe it helps them avoid the responsibility of being a believer. There are responsibilities and there are duties inherent in the Christian faith, and sometimes those can be daunting. And I believe some Christians believe if I don't learn too much, if I don't get too mature, then I won't be held responsible. Well, let me suggest to you, I think Scripture suggests something far different, not only in the book of Hebrews, but throughout the New Testament. As I was thinking about this, I thought of Paul's words in the first epistle to the Corinthians, when he said, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish ways." Now, he was talking about the difference between living our Christian life in the here and now as opposed to the hereafter, but I think the summary of what he would say is that behavior in one period of one's life is not appropriate for the next. We need to move on. We need to mature. We need to do away with childish things. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. We might say, when I was a spiritual child, I spoke like a spiritual child, and I thought like a spiritual child, and I reasoned like a spiritual child. But when I became a spiritual adult, I gave up spiritually childish ways. I believe that's what Hebrews calls us to. If you are someone who has found yourself in willful ignorance, intentionally not finishing that foundation, moving on to maturity, let me encourage you to reject that trajectory of your walk and heed the warnings in Hebrews. The foundation of elementary doctrine is appropriate for new believers, and it's essential for all believers as they grow in faith, but it's something that we build on and grow from. Let us be aware of this tendency within ourselves to remain in or continually return to immaturity. And let us heed what Hebrews calls us to this morning, to move on to a mature faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father God, for the many ways in which it helps us and brings life to us. how it encourages us, Father God, and strengthens us. And we also thank you that it warns us. And I pray, Father God, we would all heed this warning of perpetual or recurring immaturity. That you would, by your Spirit, give us a desire in our hearts to move on to maturity. Father God, that we would recognize the importance of the foundation, that we indeed would lay the foundation. I pray for those who are unbelievers, particularly that they would begin the foundation through repentance and faith. And that believers would see the importance of a systematic understanding and learning of doctrinal truth, that they'd start with the basics and build on from there. I pray, Father God, that you would help us to fully submit to the authority of your word. Father God, I hope that all of us would resist any sort of willful ignorance in regards to these things. Help us with that, Father God. But I pray most of all, Father God, that you would help us hear this call to maturity and pursue it. With your help, we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.